You want a bar that feels gentle on skin and stands up in the shower. Cold process soap gives you both when you treat the steps like a craft and the safety like a rule. The work begins before the first scoop of oil. It starts with a clean bench, lock distractions, and a plan that does not guess. Lye is powerful. It turns oil into soap through a simple chemical change called saponification. It deserves your focus and respect. You set the room, suit up, and slow the pace so each move is clear. You will learn to build a recipe on paper, mix a lye solution the right way, match both pitchers near 100 degrees Fahrenheit, and pour a smooth batter into a ready mold. Then you will cure the bars for 4 full weeks. Step by step, you will make safe, solid soap with numbers you can repeat. Chapter 1. Safe workspace and gear. Hook, one line. Safety first gives you clean bars and calm hands. Scope. This chapter covers your room setup, protective gear, safe tools, and cleanup plan. It does not cover recipes, temperatures, mixing, or molds. Safety. Wear splash goggles, nitrile gloves, and long sleeves. Tie back hair. Ventilate the room with a fan that moves air out. Keep kids and pets out. Place a tray under any container that will hold lye. Keep cool running water within reach for a rinse if you have a splash on skin. Flush skin with water for at least 15 minutes. Do not pour vinegar on skin. For small surface spills, you can wipe with water, then follow with a light vinegar wipe on the counter once you have removed gloves and washed hands. Tools and materials. Heat-safe pitcher made of stainless steel or number 2 HDP or number 5 polypropylene. No aluminum. Stainless steel or heat-safe silicone spatulas. A reliable digital scale that reads grams. A stick blender rated for kitchen duty. 2 thermometers or 1 fast digital probe. A soap-only pot or bowl for oils. A fine mesh strainer. Paper towels. Trash bag. 2 labeled bins for clean and for dirty. A notebook for your batch log. Distilled water for the lye solution. Setup. Clear a bench so you have space to measure, mix, and set the mold. Wipe surfaces dry. Place a non-slip mat under the main pitchers. Put on goggles and gloves. Stage the lye container on a tray near a sink or under a vent. Stage the distilled water in a separate pitcher. Place the oil pot at the stove or on a hot plate. Put the stick blender within easy reach with the bell and cord dry. Lay out the thermometer, scale, and spatulas. Set your notebook open to a fresh page and write the date and batch name. Understanding saponification. Oil and lye react to form soap and glycerin. That is all saponification means. Once the reaction is complete and the bars have cured, there is no free lye left. Safety matters most while the lye is dry or dissolved in water and while the batter is fresh. Treat this window with care and you will work with confidence. Zone the bench. Make a clean zone and a hot and caustic zone. The clean zone holds your scale, notebook, and dry tools. The hot and caustic zone holds the lye tray, the lye pitcher, and later the batter. Do not cross tools between zones. When a tool touches lye or batter, it stays in that zone until wash time. This simple rule prevents surprise burns and keeps the process calm. Lockout, close the door. Put a note outside that says do not enter. If you can, use a child gate to block the path. Soap making is quiet, but the lye stage is not a time for company or sudden bumps. The session is yours. Guard it. Air and light. Work in bright light so you can see steam and splashes. Use a fan to pull air out of the room. Keep the fan pointed away from your face. You want gentle flow that moves heat and fumes away. Never mix lye in a tiny space with no air. Containers that pass the test. Use stainless steel or lye-safe plastic. Look for the recycle mark number 2 or number 5. Glass can crack from heat. Aluminum will react with lye and make a dangerous mess. If you are not sure about a container, do not use it. Scale and numbers. Your scale must read grams. Soap is chemistry. Guessing by volume makes soft bars or harsh bars. Put a fresh battery in the scale. Test with a known weight. Write a note in your log that the scale passes the check. Thermometers. You need to know the temperature of both pitchers. A fast probe works well. Check it in warm water. If it reads steady and close to what you expect, use it. If it drifts, replace it. Stick blender care. The stick blender turns a loose mix into an emulsion. Keep the bell dry until it meets the oils. Check that the cord is clear of the hot zone. Plug it into a GFCI protected outlet if possible. Set it on a towel so it does not slide. Personal protective equipment details. Goggles should seal around the eyes. Regular glasses are not enough. Gloves should fit, so you can feel the edge of tools. Long sleeves protect arms from tiny splashes that you may not notice in the moment. Closed shoes protect your feet if a pitcher drips. This kit is your standard. Put it on before you touch lie, and keep it on until the batter is in the mold and the bench is wiped. Spill plan. If lie granules hit the counter, do not blow on them. Lift them with a dry paper towel and place them in the trash. If lie solution spills, flood the area with cool water and wipe toward you with a towel while wearing gloves. Change towels often. Rinse again. For counters, you can follow with a light vinegar wipe to neutralize residue. For skin, use water only. Waste plan. Line a small bin with a trash bag for towels and disposable wipes. Keep a second bin for tools that need washing. Label both. This reduces confusion when your hands are busy and you need to park a messy spatula fast. Laundry and dishes. Wash soap tools by hand in cool water first to remove active residue, then warm water with detergent. Do not run active lye or fresh batter through a dishwasher. Let heavy residue harden overnight on scrapers and bowls, then peel and discard into the trash before washing. Dedicated tools. Keep soap tools for soap only. Oil and fragrance can linger. A shared stick blender or spoon can carry food bits into soap or soap residue into food. Mark tools with bright tape. Fire and heat. Do not heat oils without a plan. Use low heat and patience. Keep a lid nearby to smother a small flame if a pan is overheated by mistake. Never leave melting oils unattended. Batch log. On the first page, write the date, the batch name, and space for each stage. Leave lines for room temperature, lye water temperature, oil temperature, time to emulsion, and pour time. Add space for any add-ins you plan to test later. This log turns a one-time project into a repeatable craft. Dry run. Walk the steps without materials. Move the empty pitchers through the path they will take. Practice setting the stick blender into the pot and lifting it out without splatter. Practice moving a tray from sink to bench with steady hands. This builds muscle memory, so the real run is smooth. Room discipline. Keep drinks and food out of the room. Keep phones off the bench. Set a timer when you heat oils so you do not forget them. Work at a steady pace. Speed is not a goal. Clarity is. End of session cleanup. When the batter is poured in a later chapter, you will wipe the bench, peel off gloves, wash hands, and then wash tools. In this first session, you are only setting up, yet it helps to rehearse the cleanup steps in your head. Picture the last move. A clean room. Tools parked. Notes written. Door unlocked. Verify. Do a pass or fail check before you move on. Is the vent moving air out? Are goggles and gloves on? Is the lye container on a tray? Is the scale reading grams? Is the stick blender dry and staged? Is the notebook open? If any answer is no, fix it now. Common fails. People mix in a busy kitchen and someone walks in. People use glass for lye and it cracks from heat. People wear regular glasses and get a tiny splash under the frame. The fix is to lock the door, choose stainless steel or lye safe plastic, and wear sealed goggles. Another fail is to mix lye near paper clutter that traps granules. The fix is to clear the bench to bare wipeable surfaces. Document. Take 3 photos. 1 photo of the room showing the vent, the bench, and the closed door. 1 photo of the PPE on your body. 1 photo of the lye tray area and the clean zone. Place the photos in your batch log with the date. This builds a habit that helps with safety and helps if you later sell and need to show your process. Recap. Dress and zone the room before any recipe work. Use lye safe containers and a scale that reads grams. Lock the door, move air out, and keep water ready for a rinse. Chapter 2, Recipe Planning and Weighing. Hook, 1 line. Your numbers decide how the bar feels and if it is safe. Scope. You will choose oil rolls, set percentages, pick a superfat, and record water basics. You will run a trusted lye calculator and weigh oils in grams. You will build a clean batch log that you can repeat. You will not mix lye, heat oils, or blend batter in this chapter. Safety. Planning still needs care. Note nut or seed oil allergens if you share bars. Keep food out of the room. Keep pets and kids away from the bench. Wear goggles and gloves once any container with lye or raw batter appears, which begins next chapter. For now, protect clean tools from cross-use with food. Tools and materials. Reliable digital scale that reads grams, notebook or printed batch sheet, pen, clean containers for each oil, spatulas, fine mesh strainer, calculator for quick math, and a trusted Lie calculator you already know how to use. Have your mold handy, so you pick a batch size that fits. Set up, clear the bench. Open your notebook to a fresh page. Title it with date and batch name. Write these headers down the page: goals, total oil weight, oil list and percentage, super fat, expected water, expected Lie notes. Leave space for each line. Put the scale in your clean zone. Place empty containers on the scale to check tear. Goals: decide how the bar should feel. Hardness keeps shape and makes a long-lasting bar. Cleansing controls how much oil the bar removes from skin. Conditioning affects slip and softness. Bubbly lather gives big bubbles. Creamy lather gives a dense feel. These traits come from the mix of oils and butters. Oil rolls and plain words. Olive oil brings mildness and conditioning. Coconut oil brings cleansing and hardness. Palm oil or lard brings hardness and a stable base. Shea butter brings conditioning and a soft, creamy feel. Castor oil boosts lather and helps bubbles last. Sunflower or rice bran oil adds light conditioning. Typical ranges that work for many cold process bars. Olive oil at 30 to 50%. Coconut oil at 15 to 30%. Palm oil or lard at 15 to 30%. Shea butter at 5 to 15%. Castor oil at 5 to 10%. Sunflower or rice bran oil at 5 to 15%. Keep the sum at 100%. Stay inside these ranges until you have several batches logged. Pick your palette. Choose 3 to 4 oils for your first build. Fewer inputs make repeat results easier. Here are 3 starter profiles to pick from. You will adjust later once you know your mold and your room. Profile A, gentle daily bar, palm free. Olive 40%. Coconut 20%. Shea butter 15%. Sunflower 15%. Castor 10%. Profile B, long-lasting bar with stable lather. Olive 30%. Coconut 20%. Palm 25%. Shea butter 15%. Castor 10%. Profile C, vegan bar with bright bubbles. Olive 35%. Coconut 25%. Cocoa butter 10%. Shea butter 10%. Castor 10%. Rice bran 10%. Write your choice in the notebook. Circle it so you do not drift. Set total oil weight. Your mold size decides this number. 2 simple ways work well. Method 1, water weight method. Line the empty mold. Fill it with room temperature water to the height you will pour. Weigh the water in grams. Multiply by 0.85 to estimate total oil weight. Say the water weighs 1,400 grams. 1,400 times 0.85 equals 1,190 grams. Round to a clean target, such as 1,200 grams. Write total oils, 1,200 grams. Method 2, manufacturer volume method. If your mold lists volume in liters, multiply liters by 850 to estimate grams of oils. 1.4 liters times 850 equals 1,190 grams. Round to a clean number. Pick one method and stick with it for this mold to keep notes easy to compare. Convert percentages to grams. Take your total oil weight and multiply by each percentage. Use whole grams. Do not use ounces for this step. Grams keep the math clean and the scale accurate. Example with profile A and 1,200 grams. Olive at 40% equals 480 grams. Coconut at 20% equals 240 grams. Shea butter at 15% equals 180 grams. Sunflower at 15% equals 180 grams. Castor at 10% equals 120 grams. Check the sum. 480 plus 240 plus 180 plus 180 plus 120 equals 1,200 grams. Write each number on its own line in the log. Leave a small box next to each line to check off when weighed. Superfat explained and set. Superfat is the small extra oil you leave unreacted to give a gentle feel. It is set as a percentage that reduces the Lie amount. 5% is a steady default for bath bars. 3% makes a slightly cleaner feel. 7% makes a richer feel and a softer cure for a while. Start at 5%. Write superfat, 5% in the log. Water amount basics. The Lie calculator will give you either a Lie concentration or a water amount. For your first runs, accept the default the calculator gives for a standard bar. Do not reduce water yet. A common stable setting is a lye concentration near 33%. That means roughly 2 parts water to 1 part lye by weight. You do not need to chase the ratio by hand. Let the calculator set it. Later, when you want crisp lines and designs, you can learn water discounts. Choose the correct alkali. Select sodium hydroxide in your calculator for cold process bar soap. Sodium hydroxide is often labeled NaOH. Do not choose potassium hydroxide, which is used for liquid soap. This single choice changes the numbers. Write alkali, sodium hydroxide in the log. Run the calculator. Enter each oil and its percentage. Enter total oils in grams. Set superfat to 5%. Accept the standard water setting. Record the output numbers. Copy the lye amount in grams. Copy the water amount in grams. Write both clearly. Put a box next to each number to check off later when you weigh them. You will not mix them yet. Quality check for rancidity and age. Smell each oil. If it smells sharp or like crayons, it may be rancid. If a bottle has been open for months, write the open date in your log. Old oils can give orange spots later. Replace any oil that smells off. This step saves a batch. Log the label names for sales. If you might sell later, write the standard names for your oils under label names. For example, olive oil becomes sodium olivate after the reaction, but many areas allow you to list base oils rather than the reacted names. Rules vary. Note that you will check local cosmetic labeling rules before any sale. The point today is to start good habits. Plan add-ins but hold them. If you want oatmeal, milk, clays, or scent, write a plan note only. Do not weigh them now. You will test scent and add-ins in Chapter 5 with a small cup. Keep this chapter about base oils and clean numbers. Weighing practice before real product. Place an empty container on the scale. Zero the scale. Pour room temperature olive oil slowly until you reach the target grams. Speak the number out loud as you approach the target to keep your focus. Stop just short, then add drop by drop. Check the box next to olive. Repeat for each oil with a fresh container. Hard fats and butters, weighing notes. It is easier to weigh solid fats before melting. Use a clean spoon to add chunks to a container on the scale. Aim for the number without fuss. Solid bits will melt later. Record the weight and check the box. Keep each oil in its own container for now. This makes it easy to fix an error without dumping everything together. Correcting overpours. If you pour too much of one oil by a small amount, scoop a little back to the bottle with a clean spoon while the oil is still in its own container. If you overshoot by a lot, set that container aside and reweigh a new one. Do not guess. Do not try to fix with another oil. Precision now prevents problems later. Batch size sanity check. Hold all your oil containers and place them together on the scale. The sum should be near your planned total oil weight. If you are far off, recheck each line. It is quicker to fix now than after lye enters the room. 2 starter recipes with grams, ready to log. Gentle daily bar, palm free, total oils 1,000 grams. Olive 40% equals 400 grams. Coconut 20% equals 200 grams. Shea butter 15% equals 150 grams. Sunflower 15% equals 150 grams. Castor 10% equals 100 grams. Superfat 5%. Sodium hydroxide selected. Accept standard water on the calculator. Record the lye and water numbers the calculator gives. Stable shower bar, long lasting, total oils 1,100 grams. Olive 30% equals 330 grams. Coconut 20% equals 220 grams. Palm 25% equals 275 grams. Shea butter 15% equals 165 grams. Castor 10% equals 110 grams. Superfat 5%. Sodium hydroxide selected. Accept standard water. Record lye and water is given. Do not mix lye yet. You are building the plan and weighing oils only. Note on fragrance load planning. Most fragrance and essential oils sit between 2% and 5% of total oils by weight, but behavior varies. Some scents speed up trace. Write a placeholder line in your log. Scent plan to be tested in small cup. You will confirm the number in Chapter 5 with a test before the main pour. Note on colorants and clays. Powders can change texture. Pre-mix powders with a small amount of a liquid oil from your recipe later. Write a placeholder line. Color plan to be dispersed in oil, amount to test later. Keep this chapter clean. Accessibility and repeatability. Read your log out loud. If another person can repeat your plan from your notes without calling you, the log is clear. Add any missing details now, such as the exact mold, the room, and the target cure date, which will be 4 weeks after the pour. Cross-check the calculator printout. The oils and percentages should match the notebook line by line. The superfat should read 5%. The alkali should show sodium hydroxide. The water should show a standard value. If any line is off, fix it now and rerun. Put a check mark on the printout corners so you know this is the final copy. Weigh the lye and water containers only. Choose lye safe containers and label one lye and one water. Write their empty weights on the bottom with a marker. You will weigh the real numbers next chapter. This small prep saves time when goggles are on and the room is quiet. Room rhythm note: planning takes patience. Take a short break. Drink water in another room. Return with a clear head. Read the log once more. Once you start lye work, you will not want to stop to solve math. This read-through is your last quiet pause. Verify, do these checks before you move on. Do the oil percentages add to 100%? Do the grams for each oil add to your total oil weight? Does the lye calculator list sodium hydroxide? Is superfat set at 5%? Is water set to the standard default for a regular bar? Are all oil weights written with a checkbox and a space to initial when weighed? If any answer is no, fix it now. Common fails and quick fixes. Using cups or spoons instead of grams. Fix by switching to grams and rerunning the plan. Picking potassium hydroxide by mistake. Fix by selecting sodium hydroxide and recalculating. Changing an oil percentage after printing. Fix by rerunning the calculator and reprinting. Overpouring an oil and trying to balance with another oil. Fix by reweighing that one oil in a fresh container. Forgetting allergens. Fix by writing contains nut oil or no nut oils in the log. Old or rancid oils. Fix by replacing the oil before weighing. Do not try to hide odor with fragrance. Documentation for traceability and future sales. Photograph the filled oil containers with labels facing up. Photograph the page of your batch log that shows percentages, grams, superfat, and the calculator outputs. Write the planned cure end date by adding 4 weeks to today on the page. If you ever sell bars, these photos and notes help prove your process. Recap. Choose a simple oil mix that fits your goal and stays within safe ranges. Set total oil weight to match your mold, run a trusted calculator, and record superfat at 5% with sodium hydroxide selected. Weigh each oil in grams in its own container and check the sums before the lye stage. Exit line. Your numbers are locked and written. Next, you will mix a clear lye solution the right way and cool it to target before any oil and lye meet. Chapter 3. Lye solution done right. Hook, one line. Safe lye work gives you clear solution and calm breathing. Scope, you will mix a sodium hydroxide solution with distilled water, dissolve until clear, manage steam, cool to target, and park the pitcher on a tray. You will not melt oils or blend batter in this chapter. Safety, wear sealed goggles, nitrile gloves, long sleeves, and closed shoes. Work with steady airflow that moves vapors away. Keep kids and pets out. Use stainless steel or lye-safe plastic mark number 2 HDPE or number 5 polypropylene. No glass. No aluminum. Add lye to water only. Never pour water into dry lye. Keep cool running water within reach for rinsing skin after a splash. For eyes, flush with water and seek medical care. Tools and materials: digital scale in grams, sodium hydroxide pellets or beads, distilled water, stainless or lye-safe plastic pitcher, stainless spoon or silicone spatula, tray with lip, thermometer or fast probe, towel, ice in a second pan for an ice bath, labels and marker. Setup: vent the room so air moves out. Clear the bench. Place the pitcher on the tray near a sink or under a vent. Set the thermometer and spoon within reach. Open your batch log. Write the date, batch name, and a line for water grams, lye grams, start temperature, clear time, and target temperature. Steps: weigh distilled water in the pitcher to the exact grams in your plan. Set the pitcher on the tray. Weigh dry lye in a labeled, dry container to the exact grams in your plan. Close the master lye jar right away. Begin a gentle stir in the water. Sprinkle a small portion of lye across the surface. Keep the spoon moving. Add the rest in small portions. Stir until every grain dissolves and the liquid turns uniform and clear. Turn your face away from rising steam. Note the time and the temperature. The mix runs hot, often above 170 degrees Fahrenheit. Set the pitcher on the tray to cool. For faster cooling, nest the pitcher in an ice bath that reaches no higher than halfway up the wall. Keep bath water out of the pitcher. Check temperature every few minutes. Target near 100 degrees Fahrenheit to match the oil side later. When the solution reaches target, wipe the outside dry, label the pitcher lye solution, and park it on the tray away from traffic. Verify. Solution looks clear with no visible grains. Temperature reads near 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Pitcher sits on a tray with a visible label. The lye jar is closed and stored high and dry. The room still vents air out. The path from sink to bench stays dry and open. Common fails and fixes. Dumping water into lye. Fix by stopping work, letting the container cool untouched, then disposing per local rules. Next time, add lye to water in small portions only, using glass or aluminum. Fix by switching to stainless steel or number 2 or number 5 plastic. Breathing steam. Fix by stirring with arms extended and head turned away while the vent pulls air out. Undissolved grains at the bottom. Fix by resuming a gentle stir until fully clear. Do not pour over undissolved lye, leaving the pitcher unattended. Fix by staying in the room until the pitcher is labeled and parked. Using tap water. Fix by using distilled water only for steady results. Document. Photograph 3 moments. The water weight on the scale screen. The lye weight on its own container. The clear solution with a temperature reading and a label on the pitcher. Place photos in your log. Recap. Add lye to distilled water in small portions, stir until fully clear, and manage steam with good airflow. Cool to about 100 degrees Fahrenheit, then label and park the pitcher on a tray. Keep notes on grams, times, and temperatures so the next batch follows the same path. Chapter 4, Oils to 100 and Emulsion. Hook, one line, match temps, blend smart, stop at emulsion for a smooth pour. Scope, you will melt hard oils, combine liquids, and bring both pitchers close to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. You will blend to emulsion or light trace, and stop before the batter thickens. You will not add scent or color. You will not prep or fill molds yet. Safety, wear goggles and gloves from start to finish. Keep sleeves down and cords clear. Use low heat and patience. Keep a lid nearby for a pan flare. Work with steady airflow. Keep kids and pets out. Tools and materials, oil pot or heavy bowl, heat source, digital thermometer or fast probe, stick blender, silicone spatulas, fine mesh strainer, the weighed oils from Chapter 2, the labeled lye solution from Chapter 3, 2 clean towels. Setup, clear the bench. Place the oil pot on the heat source. Set the lye pitcher on its tray in the hot and caustic zone. Put the thermometer and stick blender within easy reach. Open the batch log and add lines for oil temperature, lye temperature, time to emulsion, texture notes. Understanding emulsion and trace. Emulsion means the mix looks uniform with no oil streaks, and it holds together for 1 full minute. Light trace is the next step. A thin drizzle leaves a faint line that sinks back in after a slow count of 3. For a clean first pour, stop at emulsion or light trace. Save thick trace for designs in later projects. Steps. Melt hard oils on low heat. Stir until fully liquid. Add liquid oils off heat. Stir to even the temperature. Strain the combined oils into a clean pot to remove bits. Take the oil temperature. Aim for about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Take the lye temperature. Aim for about 100 degrees Fahrenheit. If one side is hotter, give it time. Match within 10 degrees Fahrenheit. Set the stick blender in the pot and tilt to release trapped air. Pour the lye solution in a slow, steady stream down the shaft to reduce splash. Use the stick blender in short pulses. 10 seconds on. 20 seconds off. Alternate short pulses with slow hand stirring until the mix looks uniform. Do a pour test with the spatula. Drizzle a small ribbon across the surface. If the line vanishes in a slow count of 3, you are at light trace. If the surface looks even and no oil streaks show after 1 minute, you are at emulsion. Stop blending when you reach your target. Set the blender on a towel. Texture checkpoints you can feel. Too thin and streaky means keep going with short pulses. Smooth and even with a thin body means emulsion. Lines that briefly show and fade mean light trace. Lines that stay and build mean medium trace. You have gone farther than needed for this chapter. Temperature window that works. Oils near 100 degrees Fahrenheit. lie near 100 degrees Fahrenheit. A match within 10 degrees keeps the emulsion stable. Read both again before you pour the lye. Write the numbers in the log. Stick blender control. Keep the bell fully under the surface to avoid air. Move in small circles. Stop the motor before lifting the bell. Scrape the sides with a spatula during a rest to pull thin oil back in. When to stop? Stop at emulsion for the most time in the mold stage. Stop at light trace if you want a slightly quicker set. Do not chase perfect lines. Pick one target and stop clean. If the batter thickens early, park the blender. Hand stir to smooth the body. Keep the pot warm, not hot. Do not add water. Do not add oil. Move on to the mold stage as soon as chapter 6 begins. Verify. Oil temperature logged near 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Lye temperature logged near 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Emulsion or light trace confirmed with the drizzle test. No free oil streaks on the surface after 1 minute. Stick blender and tools wiped and parked on towels. Common fails and fixes. False trace from cold oils. The batter looks thick but splits later. Fix by warming the pot gently and blending to true emulsion. Overblending to medium or thick trace. You lose pour time. Fix by stopping earlier next batch. For today, work with what you have and plan a faster mold step. Air bubbles from lifting the blender while running. Fix by keeping the bell under the surface and tapping the pot on the bench to release bubbles. Big temperature gap between lye and oils. Batter may split or trace unevenly. Fix by waiting until both are within 10 degrees before combining. Oil bits or specks from unmelted butters. Fix by straining oils before you add lye and scraping the sides during rests. Document. Photograph the thermometer reading in the oil pot. Photograph the thermometer reading in the lye pitcher. Photograph the drizzle line at light trace. Write the time from first pulse to emulsion. Add one sentence on texture. Recap. Melt and combine oils, then match both sides near 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Add lye to oils and blend in short pulses with rests. Stop at emulsion or light trace for a smooth, calm pour. Chapter 5, Color, Scent, and Addents. Hook, one line. Test small, then scale so the main batch stays smooth. Scope, you will plan and test scent, color, and simple add-ins. You will use a small cup test before you commit the whole pot. You will learn dose ranges and watch for acceleration or rising. You will not prep molds or pour in this chapter. Safety, wear goggles and gloves. Work with airflow. Keep raw batter off skin. Some fragrance and essential oils can irritate eyes and lungs. Keep bottles capped when not in use. Do not exceed safe skin use rates. If you plan to sell later, read current safety data and follow local rules. Tools and materials. Small heat safe cup that holds 100 to 200 grams, mini whisk or spatula, gram scale, pipettes or a small syringe for scent, measuring spoons, small jars for dispersing color, a little liquid oil from your recipe, distilled water for clays, timer, notebook. Setup. Keep the main pot at emulsion or light trace from the last chapter. Set the test cup near the pot. Set the scale to grams. Open your log to a page titled Add-ins Test. Make lines for dose, time to medium trace, texture notes, and final choice. Scent basics in plain words. Essential oils and fragrance oils both scent soap. Some scents speed up trace. Some cause rising or separation. Start with a modest load. 2-3% of total oils is a safe first lane for many scents. Some can go to 5%, but do not assume. Example dose math for the ear. Total oils 1,000 grams. 3% load equals 30 grams of scent. For a 100-gram test cup, use 3 grams of scent. Color basics. Micas give bright tones that hold in many recipes. Clays give earthy color and a silk feel. Activated charcoal makes a deep gray to black. Natural powders like cocoa or turmeric can shift in the high pH of soap. Test first. Disperse color before it hits batter. For micas, mix 1 teaspoon with 1 to 2 tablespoons of liquid oil from your recipe. For clays, mix 1 teaspoon with 1 to 2 tablespoons of distilled water. For charcoal, start with 1/4 teaspoon dispersed in oil for 500 grams of oils. Adjust after the test. Add-ins and their effects. Oats add gentle scrub and calm feel. Use 1 to 2 teaspoons per 500 grams of oils. Sugar can boost bubbles. Dissolve 1 teaspoon in a small amount of warm water and add to lye water next time. Do not add sugar now to raw batter. Salt can harden bars but may lower lather. 1 teaspoon per 500 grams of oils in the water stage is common. Plan it for a later batch, not this one. Milk can darken or heat batter. Use with care and test in a small cup first. Test cup method. Ladle 100 grams of fresh batter into the test cup. Add the pre-dispersed color drop by drop. Stir until even. Weigh the scent to reach the planned percent for the test cup. Add it and stir. Start a timer. Watch texture for 2 minutes. Note any thickening, ricing, or oil weeping. If the batter holds smooth body, you have a safe plan for the main pot. If it thickens fast, lower the scent load or change the scent for this design. If it rices, use brief pulses with the mini blender only in the test cup to smooth it. Then decide if the look fits your goal. Reading behavior. Acceleration means the batter jumps to thick quickly. Plan a simple pour. Ricing means tiny grainy bits appear. Blend smooth if time allows. Separation means oil pools on top. Stop. Do not add this scent to the main pot. Choose another scent. Dose guide you can read aloud. Many essential oils sit between 2 and 4% of total oils. Many fragrance oils sit between 2 and 5%. Spice oils like cinnamon and clove are strong and can irritate skin. Keep loads low and test. Citrus oils can fade or be phototoxic at high loads. Choose tested blends or keep loads modest. Color load guide. Mica at 1/2 to 1 teaspoon per 500 grams of oils gives light to medium color. Clay at 1 teaspoon per 500 grams adds color and slip. Charcoal at 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon per 500 grams gives gray to near black. Plan for the main pot after the test. If the test stays fluid for 2 minutes, you can add scent and color to the full batch at emulsion or light trace. If the test thickens in under 1 minute, add scent to the full batch sooner and pour simple layers. If the test fails, skip scent for this batch or pick a calmer scent and retest. Steps for this chapter. Portion 100 grams of batter into the test cup. Add dispersed color a little at a time. Stir even. Weigh and add the test scent load. Stir. Start the timer. Watch for 2 minutes. Log texture and time to medium trace. Decide the plan for the main pot based on the test. Record final scent grams and color amounts for the full batch. Clean the test tools or park them in the dirty bin. Verify. Test cup weight equals 100 grams of batter. Scent grams match the planned percent for the test. Color was dispersed before hitting the batter. Notes list time to medium trace and any texture change. A clear decision is written for the main pot. Common fails and fixes. Pouring scent straight from the bottle into the main pot. Fix by weighing in grams into a small cup first. Adding dry powder to the batter. Fix by dispersing in oil or water before adding. Ignoring strong spice oils. Fix by using lower loads or skipping for face bars. Overloading scent to force a stronger smell. Fix by staying inside tested ranges and curing full time. Planning sugar or salt at the wrong stage. Fix by moving those to the water stage on a later batch. Document. Photograph the test cup with a label that shows dose and time. Photograph the dispersed color jars. Write the final full batch plan in the log with scent grams and color amounts. Recap. Test scent and color in a small cup before you commit the full pot. Start with modest loads. Watch for acceleration and ricing and adjust the plan. Record exact grams so you can repeat the result. Chapter 6. Molds, pour, and gel phase. Hook, one line. Prep the mold, pour clean, and control heat for a smooth set. Scope, you will line or prep the mold, pour with control, tap out bubbles, finish the top, and manage heat so the loaf sets without tunnels or ash. You will learn how to encourage gel or skip gel on purpose. You will rest the mold in a calm room and leave it undisturbed. You will not unmold, cut, or cure in this chapter. Safety, keep goggles and gloves on. The batter is still caustic. Work in good light and steady airflow. Keep cords clear and the bench dry. Lift the full mold with 2 hands. If batter touches skin, rinse with cool water for at least 15 minutes. Tools and materials. Your chosen mold, freezer paper or parchment for lining if needed, scissors, tape, rubbing alcohol at 70% in a fine sprayer, a tray with a lip to carry the mold, towels or a light blanket for insulation, a skewer or spoon for top textures, paper towels, timer, notebook. Mold choices in plain words. Silicone loaf molds do not need lining. They release well once the loaf is firm. A wooden box mold needs a liner, so the soap does not stick. Silicone cavity molds make individual bars and often skip cutting. Pick the mold that matches your batch size and your plan for cutting later. Line a wooden mold. Cut freezer paper wide enough to cover the base and both long walls with a little extra to fold over the rim. Place shiny side toward the soap. Crease corners with your fingers so the paper fits tight. Cut two small end pieces to cover the short walls. Tape only on the outside so no adhesive touches the batter. Prep a silicone mold. Wash with warm water and a drop of detergent. Rinse and dry. A thin mist of alcohol can help pop tiny bubbles later, but do not soak the mold. Set the mold on a rigid tray so you can lift it without pressing the sides. Set the mold on a tray. Slide the mold onto a tray with a lip. This keeps drips contained and makes moving to a resting spot safe. Place the tray in the clean zone within easy reach of the pot. Plan your pour style. For a first build, use a simple steady pour to a single level. If your test cup from the last chapter stayed fluid, you can pour in one pass. If the test cup thickened fast, plan a quick split pour with a gentle layer. Keep it simple for control. Knock bubbles out of the batter before the pour. Give the pot a slow stir with a spatula. Tap the pot base on the bench 2 or 3 times. This brings air to the surface. Do not whip. You want smooth movement. Final temperature glance. Your batter should still be at emulsion or light trace. The pot should feel warm, not hot. If the pot seems to thicken, move to the pour now. Do not pause for long chats once scent is in the mix. Steps for the pour. Bring the pot close to the mold. Aim for a short fall to reduce splashing. Begin a thin stream into one corner to anchor the first pool. Sweep the stream back and forth so the mold fills in layers from the base up. Pause at the halfway mark. Tap the tray 2 or 3 times to release bubbles. Resume the pour until the mold is full. Leave a small headspace so the lid or cover does not touch the surface. Tap the tray again. Listen for a gentle thud. Watch small bubbles rise and break. Top textures that work. A smooth top is easy. Pull a silicone spatula across the surface in one clean pass. For a rustic top, drag the spatula in gentle waves from end to end with a light hand. A skewer can draw a simple S-curve. Keep movements calm. Do not dig deep and stir air back into the loaf. Pop surface bubbles. Hold the sprayer 6 to 8 inches above the soap. Mist a light veil of alcohol over the top once or twice. The goal is to pop pinhole bubbles. Do not soak the surface. A heavy spray can mark the finish. Cover the mold. Lay a clean sheet of freezer paper over the top, shiny side down, without touching the soap. This keeps dust off and slows ash. A light board or lid can sit over the paper to protect the surface. Do not press. Decide your gel plan now. Gel phase is the warm, translucent stage that runs through the loaf as saponification releases heat. You can encourage gel for richer color and a faster firm set. You can avoid gel for a creamy, lighter look. Both are valid. Your room, your recipe, and your batch size will guide the choice. To encourage gel phase, insulate the mold with a folded towel or a light blanket. Keep the mold away from drafts. For a cool room, place the tray in a warm spot out of direct sun. Check the top within 30 to 40 minutes. You want gentle warmth, not a dome or a crack. To avoid gel phase, skip heavy insulation. Set the mold in a cool room on a wire rack for airflow. Use a fan at low speed across the room to keep air moving. If the top feels hot to the touch, remove any cover and let heat dissipate. Watch for overheating. A loaf that gets too hot can dome, crack, or even form a small volcano. This is most common with high sugar ingredients or heavy insulation. If you see a center hump or a hairline crack begin, uncover the mold at once. Move it to a cooler spot. You can place a cool pack near the mold wall to pull heat away. Do not put ice under the mold base. You want a gentle cool down, not a shock. Avoiding soda ash. Soda ash is a harmless white powder on the surface. It forms when unreacted lye meets air and carbon dioxide during the set. To reduce ash, pour at light trace, mist the surface with alcohol, cover the top, and control drafts. A full gel also lowers ash risk. If you still get ash, you can steam the top after the cure or plane it off. For now, prevention is the focus. Room rest plan. Pick a spot where the mold can sit flat for at least 24 hours. Keep pets and kids out. Do not stack towels or heavy items on top of silicone. The walls can bow. A simple towel tent is enough. Write the rest start time in your log. Notes for layered pours. If you planned one gentle layer, pour the first half, tap, and wait until the surface thickens slightly. Then pour the second half over a spatula held close to the top, so the stream does not break the layer. Keep both parts simple. This keeps the set clean, even if the batter wants to move fast. Notes for cavity molds. Fill each cavity slowly until you reach the rim. Tap the mold to bring bubbles up. Mist lightly with alcohol. Insulate only with a thin towel if the room is cool. Cavity molds can trap heat easily because each cup is small. Watch closely for domes or small cracks and uncover if needed. If the batter thickens mid-pour, do not panic. Spoon the batter into the mold in small dollops. Tap firmly to settle it. Smooth the top with a wet spatula. The top may show more texture. The bars will still be fine. Write a note in the log about fast trace so you can adjust scent choice or temperature next time. If the batter separates in the mold, this is rare when you blend to true emulsion. If you see oil pools at the edges, you can try a quick rescue only if the batter is still soft. Scoop back into the pot, pulse the blender for a few short bursts, and repour at once. If the loaf has already started to set, accept the batch and use it as a learning note. Safety still holds after cure. Gel line awareness. In a loaf, gel often starts in the center and moves outward. If the edges stay cooler, you may get a ring where the center looks slightly darker after cure. This is a gel line. It is cosmetic. To reduce this, insulate evenly or skip gel with a cool rest. Pick one approach and commit so the look is intentional. Color clarity and heat. Bright micas often look richer with gel. Some natural colorants can shift with high heat. Clays tend to stay stable. Your test cup notes help here. If you want to protect a delicate color, avoid heavy insulation and watch the mold in the first hour. Fragrance and heat. Some scents push heat. If your test cup showed strong acceleration, keep insulation light. If your scent behaved well and the room is cool, a towel wrap can help the loaf set firm. Use your notes. They are the guide. Timing checks. 10 to 15 minutes after the pour, tap the tray once more to release late bubbles. 30 to 40 minutes after the pour, place a hand near the lid and feel for heat rising. You want warm, not hot. 1 hour after the pour, peek for domes or cracks. Adjust insulation as needed. Then leave it alone. Clean the bench. Wipe drips while they are fresh. Park tools in the dirty bin. Keep goggles and gloves on until every splash is gone. Write the pour time, room temperature, gel plan, and insulation method in the log. A short sentence is enough. Verify. The mold is lined or prepped and sits on a stable tray. The pour was steady with taps to remove bubbles. The surface is finished and misted lightly with alcohol. The gel plan is written and insulation matches the plan. The mold rests in a quiet, draft-free spot with the time noted. Common fails and fixes. Bowed silicone walls from lifting without support. Fix by always using a rigid tray under the mold. Heavy towel stacks that trap too much heat. Fix by using a light wrap and checking at the half-hour mark. Soda ash from drafts and dry tops. Fix by pouring at light trace, misting with alcohol, and covering the surface. Cracks from overheating. Fix by uncovering at once and moving to a cooler room. Note the scent and add-ins for next time. Uneven top from thick batter. Fix by spooning in small amounts, tapping well, and smoothing with a wet spatula. Stuck liner in a wooden mold because paper wrapped the corners poorly. Fix by creasing sharp folds and lining the short ends with separate pieces. Document. Photograph the lined mold before the pour. Photograph the top after tapping and before the cover. Photograph the mold with insulation in place and note the time. Write a brief line on room temperature and any signs of gel or heat. Recap. Prep the mold, pour with a short fall, tap to release bubbles and finish the top. Choose gel or no gel on purpose and manage insulation to match. Park the mold in a calm room and let the loaf rest without bumps or drafts. Chapter 7. Unmold, cut, and cure 4 weeks. Hook, one line, lift a clean loaf, make even bars, and finish the cure with proof you can trust. Scope. You will check firmness, unmold without tears, cut even bars, and place them on racks with airflow. You will run a quick pH strip check, log weights, and set a 4-week cure plan. You will store and label finished bars with simple rules for home use and local sales. You will not add scent or color here. Safety. Keep goggles and gloves on until every surface is wiped. Fresh soap can still irritate skin. Work in good light. Lift the mold with 2 hands. Keep blades sharp and your other hand clear of the cut path. If raw soap touches skin, rinse with cool water for at least 15 minutes. Tools and materials: loaf mold or cavity mold with set soap, wire cutter or large straight blade, cutting guide or ruler, bench scraper, paper towels, rubbing alcohol at 70% for tool wipe downs, curing rack with airflow, label cards or painter's tape for dates, pH strips in the 8 to 14 range, notebook, scale for bar weights, box or shelf for storage after cure. Setup: clear a dry bench. Place the mold on a stable tray. Set the cutter or knife on a towel. Place the curing rack where air can move on all sides. Open your log and title the page with today's date, unmold time, cut thickness, rack location, and cure end date 4 weeks from today. When to unmold in plain words. Many loaves release well between 24 and 48 hours. High olive oil or high water batches may need more time. Silicone molds sometimes hold the loaf longer. The right moment feels firm on top with a little give at the edge. Check firmness first. Press the top edge with a gloved fingertip. It should spring back without leaving a deep dent. Pull the mold wall gently away from the loaf. The side should release cleanly. If the wall sticks or the surface smears, wait a few more hours. Unmolding a loaf from silicone. Loosen the long sides by pulling the walls away from the loaf. Turn the mold on its side and press the bottom gently to start release. Invert and ease the loaf out in one slow move. Set the loaf on its base on the tray. Do not bend or twist. Unmolding from a lined wooden mold. Lift the loaf out by the paper tabs. Lay it on the tray and peel paper away from the long sides. Peel the short ends last so corners stay sharp. If paper clings, wait another 2 to 4 hours and try again. For cavity molds, flex each cavity slightly. Press from the bottom to release the bar. If edges smear, wait longer. Pop out only when the bar holds shape. Plan your cut. Common bar thickness is about 1 inch. Choose a guide if you have one. A ruler works well. Mark light lines across the top to keep widths even. Decide on the number of bars now so the last cut is not a surprise. Cutting steps for a loaf. Stand the loaf on a flat side. Align the wire or blade with your mark. Press straight down in one steady move. Wipe the blade or wire after each cut. Repeat for the full loaf. Square uneven ends if needed and save trimmings for home use. Avoid drag marks. Use a swift straight push. Do not saw with a knife. Warm the blade with hot water and dry it if the loaf is very firm. Wipe after each slice to keep edges clean. pH strip check. Make a small lather with a fresh bar and a little distilled water. Touch the strip to the lather. Read the color within the time on the strip package. Finish soap after cure often reads near 9 or 10. If you see a very high reading today, do not panic. Fresh bars can read higher. Cure the full 4 weeks and retest. To the rack. Place bars on edge with space between them. Leave at least one finger of gap on all sides. Keep the rack in a cool, dry room with gentle airflow. Avoid direct sun and high humidity. Do not enclose in plastic during cure. Cure plan and timing. For weeks is your baseline for this recipe and water level. Airflow lets water leave the bar. The bar becomes harder and milder over time. Turn each bar every few days for the first 2 weeks. After week 2, turn once a week until the end date. Weight tracking you can trust. Weigh one sample bar on day 1 of cure. Write the weight and date in the log. Weigh the same bar once a week. When the weight holds the same for 1 full week, cure is complete for that bar. Many bars lose between 8 and 15% by weight. Your number depends on oils and room. Storage after cure. Wrap bars in paper or place in a breathable box. Keep in a cool, dry place. Avoid sealed plastic unless the bar is fully cured and the room is very dry. Label each bundle with batch name and cure end date. Basic label notes for local sales. Follow local cosmetic rules. List ingredients in plain words in the order used by weight. Add a net weight at the time of packaging. Add your contact name and a way to reach you. Keep a batch code that links to your log. Troubles and fast fixes. Loaf too soft to unmold. Wait 12 hours and check again. If needed, place the mold in a cool room with a small fan moving air across the top. Bars crumble when cut. Cut sooner on the next batch, or add a touch more water next time. For today, warm the knife and make a clean push. Sticky edges on bars. Wipe the blade more often and slow the cut. Let the next batch firm longer before unmolding. Soda ash on top. Steam the surface lightly after cure, or plane a thin layer off with a soap planer. Gel ring shows as a darker center. It is cosmetic. Leave it as is or design for full gel next time with even insulation. Warping during cure. Rotate bars more often and increase space between them. Scent seems light at week 1. Allow the full cure. Store in paper and avoid heat that can drive off scent. Document. Photograph the unboxed loaf. Photograph your cut bars spaced on the rack. Photograph the pH strip reading next to the lather. Record bar count, average thickness, starting weight, and cure end date. Write any issues and the change you plan for the next run. Verify. Bars sit on a rack with airflow and space. Cure end date is written 4 weeks from today. pH strip check is logged. One sample bar weight is recorded for weekly checks. Storage plan after cure is chosen and written. Recap. Unmold only when the loaf releases cleanly and edges hold shape. Cut straight, wipe between slices, and rack bars with space for air. Cure 4 full weeks, track 1 sample weight, and store finished bars in a dry place with simple labels.